We're almost done. Next week will be the end of the preaching series that's beginning when God does something, then we respond or we do something. This week, the text we turn to is Psalm 118, a familiar psalm. At least we hear it a lot on this day in the calendar. Listen for God's word. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The word of the Lord. I think every town I've ever lived in had some parade of some sort at some point in the year to celebrate something. The Sun Bowl parade on Christmas Day in El Paso when I was a young child. Denton and its 4th of July parade around the square. San Antonio has Thanksgiving parades where they literally float down the river. The floats are floating. It's kind of interesting. I moved to Corsicana, Texas, and they had Derrick Day parades where they celebrated the oil derricks that were erected there and brought money to that town early in its history. The first time I saw it when I was downtown, it went by in about 2 minutes, and it was over. And I said, wow, that was fast. And the person next to me said, oh, wait, it's not done. And there they came again, the same band, the same few floats. Got to see it twice. The town I lived in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, had a Christmas parade. I don't remember much about the parade, but it was downtown, and the church was downtown, and we opened up our Presbyterian post, this big old post office the church owned, and it was a wonderful night every year where community and church members would gather and drink hot chocolate and get out of the cold. The most elaborate parades I've ever been involved in were the Strawberry Festival parades in Troy, Ohio. Strawberry Festival was a creation of someone to bring income and people to town. So everything's strawberry, and they grow strawberry in the fields. And it's this huge parade, two and a half hours of watching float after float, local groups, bands from all the area high schools, motorcycle police from Indianapolis, people coming from all over to be in this parade. It was the biggest event in the life of the town. We were invited to be in one of the yards that fronted the parade route, and there'd be a big gathering there with breakfast foods, orange juice, and mimosas if you desired. The parade Jesus was in was a bit different, I suspect. Let's reflect for a few minutes about the parade God puts on for us. When God throws a parade, we better pay attention to the vehicle being used. Lots of emails and meetings in Troy, I discovered that finding the correct vehicle was really important for a parade float or group. If your group was walking, no problem. But if you rode horses, you better account for the trail they leave behind. Or if you were elected one of the Miss Somebodies, you wanted an old classic car to ride in. We had an elder who built a full-scale model of the church when it was first built as part of the bicentennial anniversary, and it was to be in the parade that year. Believe me, it was easier to build a full-scale model of the church than to get the right vehicle to pull it and the people to ride along with it. Jesus willingly rides in the parade, and his vehicle is a colt, a young donkey. In fact, the Gospel of Mark goes to great pains to describe how to get the colt for Jesus to ride. Admittedly, the Gospel of Mark doesn't offer a very expansive version of Jesus' parade into Jerusalem, but half of the verses are spent talking about getting the colt. Why? Perhaps to emphasize, to give us time to make the connection to the prophet Zechariah's description of what was to come. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's the description Jesus lives out. In contrast to the triumphant military leader whose vehicle would not be a humble donkey, but a war horse. 300 some odd years before Jesus will ride into Jerusalem, Alexander the Great arrives, and he rides in his famous black stallion through the gates of Jerusalem, the conqueror arriving. We know that Pontius Pilate would customarily have a huge military parade during Passover. All the Jews, all of God's people, returning to Jerusalem to see and celebrate Passover. And Pilate would schedule a parade with a war horse, chariot, and weapons to remind all of God's people that Rome had the power, that Rome was in charge. And that's not just a distant tradition. In our own world today, we understand the power of parades. Nations still host parades where the military display their might. Here in the United States, there is talk of a parade to display the power and might of our own military. The power and might of the world on full display. We are in charge, says the military parade. Then there's Jesus, the one coming to save us. And he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey colt. When God throws a parade, notice the vehicle being used. When God throws a parade, then we better pay attention to the route. One year, as the Strawberry Festival parade approached in Troy, tragedy struck a family in the church. An older couple's only daughter was killed suddenly in a traffic accident. In fact, right off of Central Expressway where she lived in Dallas. The funeral home called and told me what had happened, told me the body was being flown in and her parents wanted a graveside on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, the Saturday morning of the parade. Can you even get to the cemetery at 11 o'clock in the morning with the parade going on? I asked. Yes. We can't do a processional from the funeral home, but we can all meet at the graveside, and you better take the the circuitous route through the county roads to avoid downtown and the clogged side streets. It was a hot, humid May morning in Troy that Saturday, which is, I'm learning, is kind of like a hot March day in Texas. I went to the parade as planned. I was the only one in coat and tie. I sweated and watched the parade until it was time to leave. The five-minute drive, I allowed 30 minutes by, because I knew I was going to have to walk to where I'd parked the car, wind my way slowly through the side streets, out into the county, and then all the way around to the back side of the cemetery. I arrived, and there was the family and the casket. 30 minutes. 30 minutes prior, joy, festivity, celebration. I traveled 30 minutes and discovered tragedy, grief, and tears. I thought about that morning when I was in Israel, and I looked out from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives where Jesus would begin his parade into Jerusalem. And there on the hillside were tombstones marking a cemetery. In all my years of preparing for Palm Sunday, I've never read or heard about a cemetery there, but there it was. I did a little bit of research, and guess what? It's not new. It's been there for at least 3,000 years. When Jesus made his way down that winding path toward the gates of Jerusalem where he is about to enter, he's passing by a cemetery full of the dead who have been buried there for 1,000 years. And we are reminded, Jesus comes into Jerusalem not to wave a magic wand and transform our world into a fairy tale world, but to join us in our mortality. Not to deny death or do away with death, but to transform death into life. The one who saves us by transforming our very lives from that which holds us back into the new creations God desires of us. Jesus rides by the cemetery as the one who brings us hope in the face of death. When God throws a parade, pay attention to the route. When God throws a parade, then we might want to show up. Every year on Palm Sunday, that is my question. Who gathered in those streets? And of course, the add-on question, why did they gather? Some people were surely there because they had been listening to Jesus teach, watching him heal, and they were hanging out with him. Maybe some were asked to be there by their friends. Perhaps some just happened by there. I was in Boston in the fall of 1986 for training for my first job out of college. We were there 3 weeks, had a couple of weekends there. One Saturday morning, we're out walking around, and all of a sudden we come onto a crowd, and they're walking, and we thought, we'll just go where the crowd's going. So we followed, and a few would cut off at this street and then the next street. And so finally, we went down one of the side streets because it seemed like the crowd going down the main street wasn't getting anywhere. We went down the side street, and there we were. At the Charles River watching crew races. Never seen that before. Following people and you never know what you'll find. Those who gathered there, some people, I suspect, did not quite get it. They could not conceive of what Jesus spoke, not ready for what Jesus asked them to do. God, you want me to do what? Jesus is saving us. How? Do you really love me? Don't know why they were there. Don't know what they were thinking. But they showed up. Their actions prior to this day in Jerusalem and their actions later might give no indication that they have it figured out. But they showed up and shouted Hosanna, called on Jesus as the one to save them, and they had it right. Despite the misunderstandings in the past and the betrayals that wait in that moment, they were with the one who would save them. Sometimes we show up and get it right. We may be one step away from betrayal. We may be running away from something behind us. But we show up and we find the one who is there to save us. Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Jesus coming into our lives. Show up with as little or as much as you have to offer. Show up. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The one riding on a colt has arrived. The one who joins us in the depths of our humanity is here. The one who comes to save us, to save even you, to save even me. Amen.